Blog Talk Radio.
Night. What do you think? Pretty sure that happened. Third and final debate. As I said last night on Twitter, we're going to have to wait a couple years now before we get to the Kanye West versus Donald Trump debates. So that should be interesting. That should be fun. So I have many thoughts on this. I have endless clips. The overwhelming majority of the show is breaking down the debate. In fact, pretty much all of it is breaking down the debate. Without further ado, let's go ahead and get started, and I'll give you the general breakdown. We had the third and final presidential debate of 2016 that happened last night. Chris Wallace was the moderator. It was interesting. I think it was very interesting. We have some results that have rolled in. Now, yet again, according to the Snap polls online. So in other words, the unscientific polls online, which I don't think are worth nothing, but they're obviously not worth as much as the actual scientific polls. Duh. But Donald Trump won most of those. He also won the focus groups. He won the focus group on CNN. He won the focus group on Fox News. Here's where he lost all of the actual scientific polls. So YouGov did a poll, and it was 39-49, Hillary Clinton won. You had CNN ORC do a poll, and that was 52-39. So yet again, you have somewhat mixed results, but according to the most accurate way of measuring it, it appears like Hillary Clinton won. Now, my takeaway from it, I had weird feelings on it. So I first watched it. And I got to be honest, I was live tweeting it and kind of fact-checking and making jokes at the same time, so I didn't really have a good sense or perception of what I thought happened. Then, as everybody knows who follows me on Twitter, because I've complained about it multiple times, I have to, for the show, I got to go back, watch it again, clip it out, so that I can come here right now for you lovely people and do the breakdown. So I had to watch it twice. And the second time I watched it, I got the sense that Hillary Clinton won. The first time, it was kind of amorphous in my head. The second time, I thought Hillary Clinton won. And that's not to say that Trump didn't have his moments, because he did. In fact, he had some moments where, when I was live tweeting it, I was just grossed out by what Hillary was saying, because it was so disingenuous and wrong. But overall, I think she came out on top. And the reason why is, so there were a few issues where, the first time I watched it, I was giving Hillary a little shit because she loves to go back and forth and flip-flop 8 zillion times, as does Trump. But specifically on the issue of guns and the primaries, I'm so progressive on guns, and then now it's like super centrist. But when you listen to it in isolation, as many people do, because not everybody's political junkie, a lot of her answers really were kind of tailored to moderate sensibilities, and I think she should be progressive almost across the board. But it sounded like her positions made sense on abortion, for example. So they try to nail her. Chris Wallace tries to nail her on the issue of abortion. And she says, well, actually, no. So I'm in favor of Roe versus Wade. Of course, I would never overturn it. I want to stand up for women's rights. But under Roe versus Wade, you have states are allowed to regulate abortion later on. So she takes this moderate stance where you listen to it and you go, okay, that sounds decent. Then she talks about guns, and she says, look, I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe in the Second Amendment. I lived in Arkansas for 18 years. Of course I believe in it. That doesn't mean you can't have sane, reasonable regulations that go hand in hand with that. So again, I listen to that and I go, okay, that makes sense. Now again, those are two issues where I happen to actually agree with Hillary in the sense that I am kind of moderate. Like, I think there's a nice middle path on the issue of gun reform. I wouldn't, like, ban all guns, nor do I think, can you? So I'm kind of with her on that, and I'm also kind of with her on abortion. I like the fact that she stands up for it, but she is willing to acknowledge that there are some instances where it's not crazy for people to say, yeah, you know, regulation makes sense. So maybe I'm biased in that I agreed with her on those topics, but when she did – she spoke about that, she looked like she had command of the material, and he looked like he's just fucking flailing all over the place. And also when it came to the direct attack, so what she did well all night was she kept, whenever there was something where she was cornered, she would immediately find a way to flip the discussion and go on the offense. Now, again, for somebody who's a political junkie like myself and somebody who does this shit for a living, I can perceive when it's a hacky pivot. And in fact, I'm going to discuss one of those a little later. But I don't know if that lands with the general public that, oh, you just did like a rhetorical trick there. Like you just pivoted away from the issue you were discussing and then you went full speed ahead and went on the offense. And then Trump, because he's not that bright, he always falls for it. So instead of, you know, going back and hammering away on the original point where she was pinned, he would start playing defense on the thing that he was called out for. So I got the sense she won. I don't think it was a crazy, you know, knockout. I don't think it was a landslide. A lot of people say, oh, landslide. Oh, my God, she won so convincingly. I don't agree with that. There were points where, you know, Trump yet again got her on Syria. I think her Russia fear-mongering was so over the top and so ridiculous that any person in the liberal base with any sense was going, come on, really? So there were many areas where, yet again, he would say some stuff on NAFTA and Wall Street and her donors where you got to go, yeah, he's kind of right on that one. So I don't think it was a knockout, but looking at everything in its totality, I would say that she won. And so main point is this. He definitely didn't win overwhelmingly. I'm open to the idea of some people thinking, well, I think he won. Okay, fine. But he definitely didn't win overwhelmingly. And he needed to win overwhelmingly in order to really have a good shot here because he's down 5.5 points on average in the polls, and he's running out of time. He's running out of time. He did a horrible job on the sexual assault issue when that was raised because now there are many people accusing him of sexual assault, doing what he said he did in the tapes. Didn't have a good answer, didn't sound good. Hillary appeared really rehearsed, and I don't mean rehearsed in the negative way in this sense, although usually when I use the word rehearsed, I do mean it in a negative way. But it appears like she studied up on the way to attack him, because when she would go after him, she would just list off like six things like that. It's almost like she's been watching secular talk and going, okay, so just keep attacking, keep pummeling, and be quick and to the point and witty. And that's what she did. So, you know, she'd call him out, and in a 30-second span, you'd get five things that he did that were preposterous, and you'd go, ooh, you're kind of reeling right now, aren't you, Don? So, overall, I do think Hillary Clinton won. Donald Trump, I think, needed to win in a landslide in order to give himself the best chance for the election. Do I think the election's over? No. But again, Donald's on the ropes now. You can't be down 5.5 points on average, you know, when the election is really not that far away. He's banking on a story big enough to tank her that tops his sexual assault, grab them by the pussy, I don't even wait story. And the thing is, even if there are things in the Podesta emails that should be bigger than that, and we've covered a lot, I think the Podesta emails, those are real stories. There are a lot of bombshells on Syria, on the way her team views the progressive base, so on and so forth. I don't think that's enough to top the public interest and outrage on Trump scandal because this is the first scandal we've seen land this much. Even when Trump said, you know, hey, I want to kill civilians, I want to bring back torture, I want to pull out of the Geneva Conventions, that was 1/100th the coverage that, you know, we're getting now when he said grab him by the pussy. And maybe that has a lot to do with our celebrity-obsessed culture and anything that has to do with sex somehow, you know, makes an impression, and policy doesn't make an impression as much. But all those things put together means he's in trouble. He needs something to happen to bounce back to have a shot. But as of right now, she's the overwhelming favorite to win the election because I think he needed to dominate this debate to have a chance, and I don't think he did that. Okay. All right, now, go to Hillary Clinton, and a question that was tough but fair against her. Hillary Clinton was asked a really tough – ooh, hold on. Wait a second. What did I do here? Yeah. My bad. I actually skipped over a really important story about the moderator. We'll get to that in a second. I got to get to the moderators real quick. I skipped over this. All right. Adam Johnson of Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting broke down the abject failure, the debate questions, and the debate moderators this election cycle. So let me tell you where there was a focus and what was left out in terms of questions to the candidates. So the national debt, in these three debates, the national debt got three questions. Okay, now don't get me wrong. It's not like the national debt isn't an issue. Of course you could talk about that. But is it worth three questions in three debates when we'll get to in a second the things that were left out? I don't think so. And furthermore, there's never the alternative perspective brought up on the national debt. Like, it's always brought up in a fear-mongering, deficit-hawkish kind of way, and very few people say something that's true about it, which is, hey, did you know that that the lifeblood of capitalism is debt? Like, you, for example, when you go get a car, you got to take out a loan, you got to take out a mortgage on your house, just some people finance couches, TVs, whatever. Yeah, that's the lifeblood of capitalism. Furthermore, just to talk about the raw number for the debt doesn't make much sense. You have to look at it as debt to GDP ratio. And when you look at it like that, this idea of like, oh my God, we have $17 trillion in debt, that's not as crazy as it sounds when you look at the debt to GDP ratio and you actually understand the economy. So again, don't listen to me on this. I'm not an economist, but there are MMT economists who speak about this. Speak to your run-of-the-mill Keynesians, will tell you about the national debt and how there's a lot of fear-mongering over it, and people don't really know what they're talking about when they fear-monger over it. So, but either way, you can still ask a question on it. You can still even frame it from a perspective of, hey, wouldn't it be nice to cut it? But three questions in three debates. ISIS, five questions. Okay, that's an issue, obviously. ISIS, worse than Al-Qaeda, disastrous. They hold territory in the Middle East. They're getting their ass handed to them on a silver platter right now. But, yeah, it's a real question. How much does that affect a single mother in Wyoming trying to feed her two kids? Not as much as perhaps they would lead on here, but okay, it's a real issue. Maybe reel it back in, three questions maybe, but no, five, fine. Russia, seven questions about Russia. Okay, no. No, not with you on that. Yeah, you could say what Vladimir Putin did in Crimea was bad. He jacked Crimea. Go talk to a voter in Kentucky and ask them if they even know what Crimea is. They'll think it's something you're supposed to put in your coffee. They're also asking about Russia in the context of Syria. Okay, you know, there's an issue there, but that's more about the geopolitical imperialist chessboard than anything that directly affects the American people. And it's always framed from a more hawkish perspective of like, aren't they bad? Huh? Do we all agree that Russia sucks? Huh? It's just so goofy and so silly, and seven questions in three debates. All right, so now what wasn't discussed? Privacy. So the NSA, zero questions. The LGBT community, zero questions. Drug policy, zero questions. Student debt crisis, zero questions. Climate change, zero questions. Poverty, zero questions. Campaign finance reform, zero questions. every single one of the moderators who hosted these debates should be ashamed of themselves. They committed journalistic malpractice, and they're terrible at their jobs. Okay, these deserve a lot of discussion, a lot of them. We have an NSA that collecting metadata on everybody. They're spying on everybody. Remember that giant fucking facility they're building in, I think it's Utah? Multi-billion dollar facility where they're collecting everybody's records? You would think maybe that there'd be a moderator who says, hey, can we, what are your guys' thoughts on us making Orwell come to life? What are your thoughts on that? You know, maybe you want to put it in reverse, want to discuss it a little bit? Nope, nothing on that. The LGBT community, whatever, you got gay marriage, so now we're done with it. Even though, what, in over 20 states, somebody can still be fired because they're gay? That you could be kicked out of a restaurant because you're gay? There are governors fighting right now to put on the law books, codify it, and say, oh, no, yeah, you're allowed to, in the name of religious freedom, you're allowed to fire a gay person, you're allowed to kick them out of your place of business, and we're going to protect you. We're going to protect you, the bigot, as opposed to you, the discriminated against. Okay, no questions on that. Drug policy, it's not like we have an opiate issue going on right now. It's not like the FDA has repeatedly flirted with banning kratom, which, by the way, cures a lot of people who are addicted to pain pills and is a totally benign recreational drug. It, you know, no, nothing to say about that. Fucking student debt, over $1 trillion worth of student debt. You got the millennials who are fucking drowning in it. They can't get their lives started because they owe so much goddamn money. Nah, why, you know, why talk about things that actually fucking affect people and that makes sense when we can say, Putin, the Kremlin people, the fucking Kremlin. Ah, ooga booga, be scared. And I can't even, like, the fact that climate change, did you know the last time climate change was asked about? 2008. So even under Romney and Obama, when those debates were happening, and you know why that is, right? The Republicans have muddied the waters so effectively. It's a hoax. It's not real. 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 That even a simple question about it, they'll say, liberal bias. Liberal bias because you believe in facts and you believe in what scientists say. So you got to fucking fight back against this horseshit, man. They're wrong and they're silly and the rest of the world knows this and they're watching. We just covered the story. It wasn't that long ago. We've surpassed the point of no return on climate change. We're consistently now going to be over 400 parts per million. That's the threshold where they go, oh, shit, we're Foxville, son. The story about how there's going to be another refugee crisis, a worse refugee crisis in the Middle East, because we're talking about a situation where many places in the Middle East are actually uninhabitable. Are you kidding me? That makes Syria look like nothing. Like, okay, we got a Syrian refugee crisis. How about an entire Middle East refugee crisis? Because people can't live there because it's too goddamn hot. You would think that this would be brought up. Hey, war's over water. Maybe that'll be an issue. Hey, maybe the spike in food prices that now people can't afford food because the food chain's so messed up because of drought and famine. Maybe. Just throw that out there. Hey, by the way, there's a record flooding in Louisiana, and we just had a freak hurricane that makes no sense, and now we have record wildfires in the past 14 months have been the hottest on record. No, but liberal bias, don't ask that question. I can't deal with this shit, man. Poverty, you're going to ask no questions about poverty? Did you know we have hundreds of thousands of homeless people in the United States of America? Did you know to house those homeless people, it actually saves money. Let me repeat that. To house the homeless people, we have hundreds of thousands of them, to house them saves money. You're like, Kyle, hold on now. That doesn't make any sense. What do you mean? No, it makes perfect sense. When they're not housed, when you don't put a roof over their head, you know what happens? Turns out it costs you more money because they have more run-ins with the police, so they end up going to jail. Sometimes they end up going to prison. Sometimes they end up in some sort of mental institution. There's all different ways. In the hospital, there's all different ways that it costs you money, the taxpayer, when they're homeless people. If you put a roof over their head in a one-bedroom apartment, bare bones, you don't go crazy. You don't give them a fucking mansion. Don't make it luxury. Don't give them a pool. What? No, just simple one-bedroom, bare-bones, whatever. You put that over their head. All of a sudden, a lot of them get their lives together, but it costs you less money. So what's the downside? Not a question about poverty. Not a question about homelessness. We have tens of thousands of homeless veterans! Veterans in the United States! People who fought for the country! Homeless! Not a question. Not worth the question. But Putin, the Kremlin! The Kremlin, for fuck's sake! The fucking Kremlin! There was a study we covered a few years ago. They said 76% of the American people are living paycheck to paycheck. Wages have been stagnant since the 1980s for the middle class. People are pissed off, man. Not a question about that. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? It's not like that's worthy of being brought up. It's not like this is a debate to lead the country or anything. And, you know, campaign finance being the heart of everything that's wrong in American politics, not only should that get a question, got zero, it should get probably more questions than any other issue. Because, again, anybody who's researched this and knows what they're talking about understands, oh, that's the root of all evil. Because it's the legalized bribery that we have in the system that makes our government so dysfunctional. The most amazing fact to me, and that's why I always bring it up, is you can have the American people vote in an election. They obviously, it's an election. They pick everybody they want. You come back a month later and you do a poll about how they feel about the people they just elected to Congress. They get like a 9% approval rating. Percent max. Ooh, we're peaking. 14% approval rating, people. Jeez. Oh, if they're you know, historically popular, 26%. This is unbelievable. How's that possible? You just voted for them. You just picked them. I fucking hate them. But you just picked them. But I hate them. How can that be? Well, we know the answer. We are always picking between the lesser of two evils in our own minds because we know they're not representing us. They're snubbing us, the constituents, the people they're supposed to represent, because it's just a matter of competing special interests. Are the Democrats going to win and serve their donors, or are the Republicans going to win and serve their donors? That's what we have. So the money is the main issue. This is why you get ExxonMobil gets a $4 billion subsidy every single year, even though they're one of the most profitable corporations in the world, because they paid their bribes. They bought off their politicians, so they're going to get what they got coming. Wall Street, same thing. You ever stop and think about it? Hey, why is it that like a community bank that goes under in some rural community, they don't get bailed out? Why doesn't the local deli or the dry cleaner get bailed out if there is hard economic times? But they always rush in to bail out Wall Street. Why? Why? Because they paid their bribes. The number one issue facing us, we have a warfare state, the military-industrial complex. I mean, the amount of money we spend on the military is preposterous. But that exists, and nobody questions it in the establishment because they pay their bribes. The defense contractors pay their bribes. The politicians do their bidding. Campaign finance reform is the number one issue. You're never going to fix anything until you fix that. Zero questions. Mainstream media has failed you. We're trying to build new media to the point where, you know, we're the elephant in the room and they can't ignore us anymore, and we hold them accountable and we go after them. And that has to happen because we can't continue on a path of people not doing their job in journalism. The whole point of journalism is supposed to be to get the facts out there, give the data and the information, and hold the people in power accountable. They're simply not doing that. Okay. Ooh, good googly moogly. All right, let me take a quick break here, and then when I come back, I'm going to jump right into the Hillary Clinton tough but fair question portion, and then we'll get to the part where they sparred over the economy, and I got a bunch of clips from the debate. All right, stay right there, guys. We'll be right back with all that and then some.
Get it! broke down a while ago. Finally picking up the pieces. Memoirs of how to undefeated. You feel depleted. I don't talk to God as a matter of fact, I plead with. At times I hate my reflection and others I'm conceited. Half the time I'm arrogant, other times I'm vengeful. At times it's to convince me, at times it's to convince you. Done a lot of wrong, but I ain't never felt resentful. It's been so many times I lost track of who to repent to. Half the time I'm in the cut, don't want you to notice me. Broke with me and you'll see that I'm only awkward socially. Half the time I'm spiteful, double barrel rifle. I owe so many payback, I feel like I got a right to. So if you need a case in point, you can refer to buttons. And it'll prove that painkillers never murdered nothing. All it did was make me succumb, put ice in me, make me numb. When I revisit the places it takes me from, I'm strong enough to catch contact by you. Smell it soon as you get in my ride. You breathe, never reply. Don't tell me how I should live my life. Inner thoughts like an inner war. Head exact as a trembling force on my mental ward. Mental's distraught. Every word from this sinister boss is brought to you by the people like your minister's porch. Tightroping on dental floss before the haters begin to get lost. Coke and weed got my temperament off. But why would my temper get lost when as soon as the temperature frosts, I'm probably having intercourse in a resort. Criminal report, pricey condos at a minimal cost. My train of thought ain't as simple as yours. So if our paths happen to incidentally cross, I pray that you can overlook all my miniature flaws. Until then, let's let the base kick. Take the shot straight, I don't see a need to chase it. Try and fight the urge till it's something to replace it. I welcome y'all to be my co-pilot.
I ain't
so strong enough to catch contact by you. Smell it soon as you get in my ride.
Make sure you bring change for 100. Rob them, safety on the metals off. Figured if we beat the brakes off them, then how the fuck was he gonna pedal off? Some live and die by the high, I was born by it. Since Pop gave my mom the needle, like, go on, try it. Got me feeling like ain't a nigga can harm me, so I go and scoop a mommy, then won't come join the army. She was so militant, disciplined, diligent, so I whispered to her, bet you wouldn't mind feeling it. I got to know her on my sofa, I gave her my honorable discharge, and she took it like a soldier. See, she the type you gotta watch when she come around. Really, she only get high so she can come down. Lost her when I said she ain't gotta settle. Once you start handling life, you be on the same level.
I bet strong enough to catch contact by you. Smell it soon as you get in my ride.
No,
you dream, fools never reply. Don't tell me how I should live my life.
No,
put your sleep back, got it if you need that. You should really talk with me.
No,
tell me if you wanna ride or die. La 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 la.
Into Clipapalooza here. That's what I should have named today's show, Clipapalooza. That's what it is. Okay. WikiLeaks, here we go. Hillary Clinton was asked a pretty tough but fair question at the debate last night about something that she said in a paid speech. where the transcript was released by WikiLeaks. Let's see her response.
In a speech you gave to a Brazilian bank for which you were paid $225,000, we've learned from the WikiLeaks that you said this, and I want to quote, "My dream is a hemispheric common market with open trade and open borders." So that's
Thank
the
you.
Question. That's the question. Please quiet everybody. Is that your dream, open borders?
Well, if you went on to read the rest of the sentence, I was talking about energy. You know, we trade more energy with our neighbors than we trade with the rest of the world combined. And I do want us to have an electric grid, an energy system that crosses borders. I think that will be a great benefit to us. But you are very clearly quoting from WikiLeaks, and what's really important about WikiLeaks is that the Russian government has engaged in espionage against Americans. They have hacked American websites, American accounts of private people, of institutions. Then they have given that information to WikiLeaks for the purpose of putting it on the Internet. This has come from the highest levels of the Russian government, clearly from Putin himself, in an effort, as 17 of our intelligence agencies have confirmed, to influence our election. So I actually think the most important question of this evening, Chris, is finally, will Donald Trump admit and condemn that the Russians are doing this and make it clear that he will not have the help of Putin in this election, that he rejects Russian espionage against Americans, which he actually encouraged in the past? Those are the questions we need answered. We've never had anything like this happen in any of our elections before.
That was a great pivot off the fact that you want open borders, okay? How did we get on to Putin? From everything I see, has no respect for this person.
Well, that's because he'd rather have a puppet as president of the United States.
No puppet.
And it's pretty clear. It's pretty clear you won't admit that the Russians have engaged in cyber attacks against the United States of America, that you encouraged espionage against our people, that you are willing to spout the Putin line, sign up for his wish list, break up NATO, do whatever he wants to do, and that you continue to get help from him because he has a very clear favorite in this race.
This was the part of the debate where I almost melted from anger, because I'm sitting there listening to Hillary Clinton, and I'm going, oh, so you just reignited the rhetoric of the Cold War and put it on steroids and human growth hormone. And think about what she did there. Because WikiLeaks has damaging stuff that is true about her and her campaign, they have no answer for it. She has no logical, rational response that explains away all of the shit in those emails. So what does she do? Russia! Russia! Putin! The Kremlin! Ooga booga! Be afraid! I mean, this is like, I don't know if this is a made-up word or not, but it's like Russia phobia. That's what it feels like. It's almost like the old scapegoat that happened forever of just always blame the Jews. Always blame the Jews. Always scapegoat the Jews. Always scapegoat black people. It's but Russia. Russia. Oh, you have something embarrassing on me that's totally factually accurate? Russia. It's fucking Russia. Fucking Russia. There they go again. Russia. Russia. Now, here's the saddest part of it. That may have worked in the sense that people watching the debate, and this is what she did all night, and other times, I'll grant you, she did it much more artfully, where she's pinned on something, she instantly pivots and goes on the offense and makes him play defense. And that's what happens. And so all of a sudden, you know, he called it out there. That was one of the only times he called it out where he was like, nice pivot off the question. But most of the time, she just immediately started playing defense. Well, I don't know, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Whereas she, again, kept perpetual offense, 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 and reframed the discussion. So that may have worked as a rhetorical trick, but to people who know this, and I think in this exchange, people in the liberal base, Bernie Sanders voters, they hear this and they go, you have no idea how hard you're making it for me to vote for you, Hillary. Because look at what you're fucking saying, man. I mean, this is – Chris Hayes was tweeting about this even. MSNBC milquetoast Chris Hayes was like, okay, this may be a good strategy domestically for the election, but this is kind of going down a bad road in terms of the rhetoric. Yeah, no shit. Just come out and say it. She reignited the rhetoric of the Cold War and put it on steroids and human growth hormone. Okay, and he goes on to say at one point, yeah, would it be nice to get along with Russia? Of course. Now, that's something where every single Democrat in the country would have agreed until this election. And now that their dear leader mommy, Hillary Clinton's all of a sudden being super hawkish and standoffish and escalating with Russia, they're like, what do you mean? Of course I'm hawkish and standoffish, and I want to escalate with Russia. Russia hacking, terrible, bad, terrible. And furthermore, I don't even get what. So what's the end goal in your fucking brilliant conspiratorial paranoid mind about Russia doing this? Like, what's he doing? Oh, let's get Donald Trump elected. This is Vladimir Putin now. Let's get Donald Trump elected so that we can invade Kentucky. Like, what's the end goal? What are you saying? What's the well? If you elect Donald Trump, then that de-escalates from war. So I'm gonna pick him. Don't we all want to de-escalate from war? Like, again, there's no argument. It's just fear-mongering. It's just like, ah, Russia, fucking Russia. And? Fucking Russia. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. I would like it if the Democrat wanted to de-escalate with Russia. I would like it if the Democrat, you know, cared about coming to a solution without more weapons and fighting in Syria, for example, in Crimea. But they're mocking it now. She's so hawkish and she can't help herself so much that it's just this is what she says. And again, I think it mostly has to do with the fact that she's caught and she has no out. Anytime you want to figure out whether or not a Democratic partisan is caught on a question, see if they pivot to Russia in this election, because that's when you know they're caught. There's so much shit in those emails, man, that WikiLeaks released. So, for example, Hillary Clinton said about Syria. She said she knows that a no-fly zone and a safe zone would lead to massive numbers of civilian casualties. That was in the email. She said that in 2013. Any journalist today who's intelligent would say, well, hold on now. So I guess you're okay with massive numbers of civilian casualties because that's the policy you advocate for. So that's something you should ask. But there's stuff like that. There's mocking of the Democratic base as communists, which her insiders did and people in her campaign did. So with all those things in there that are so damaging, telling environmentalists, get a life, there is no answer. She has no answer. There's no substantive response to it because she's caught. She's fucking caught. So what do? Russia. Fucking Russia. It's nice. So you pivot to where you think the leaks came from as opposed to the substance of it. It's honestly like if a girlfriend or a boyfriend saw their lover's phone light up, and they know, oh, this person's cheating on me. And then they bring it up to them, and they go, why, you have taken away my privacy. How dare you? I'm against this on principle. Let me tell you. Yeah. Come on, son. We all see through that argument. You got nothing to say because you were caught fucking cheating, so they go, oh, my privacy has been... oh, it's been destroyed. You know, maybe Russia built that phone. It's just so stupid. So look, most of the night, Hillary's pivot, go on the offense move worked. And she did it effectively. And most people, I think, followed her line of reasoning. When, like, she hammered him on the sexual assault thing and went to work. You know, if she was asked a question about something where she's pinned, pivot attack. This was the most inartful one and the grossest one. I feel like I needed to take a shower after listening to it because it's ridiculous. Okay. Now let's go to where they spar on the economy. Trump and Hillary sparred on the issue of the economy and their tax plans at the final debate last night. Let's watch, and then I'll break it down.
I want to make college debt-free and for families making less than $125,000. You will not get a tuition bill from a public college or university if the plan that I worked on with Bernie Sanders is enacted. And we're going to work hard to make sure that it is, because we are going to go where the money is. Most of the gains in the last years since the Great Recession have gone to the very top. So we are going to have the wealthy pay their fair share. We're going to have corporations make a contribution greater than they are now to our country. That is a plan that has been analyzed by independent experts, which said that it could produce 10 million new jobs. By contrast, Donald's plan has been analyzed to conclude it might lose 3.5 million jobs. Why? Because his whole plan is to cut taxes, to give the biggest tax breaks ever to the wealthy and to corporations, adding $20 trillion to our debt and causing the kind of dislocation that we have seen before, because it truly will be trickle-down economics on steroids. So the plan I have, I think, will actually produce greater opportunities. The plan he has will cost us jobs and possibly lead to another great recession.
Secretary, thank you. Mr. Trump, why will your plan create more jobs and growth than Secretary Clinton?
Well, first of all, before I start on my plan, her plan is going to raise taxes and even double your taxes. Her tax plan is a disaster. And she can say all she wants about college tuition, and I'm a big proponent. We're going to do a lot of things for college tuition, but the rest of the public's going to be paying for it. We will have a massive, massive tax increase under Hillary Clinton's plan.
Okay, that is simply a lie from Donald Trump. So when I was listening to the debate the first time, I immediately was like, wait, did he really just say that? Because what a weird thing. She's going to double your taxes. What? It's almost like he has to know that's not true as he's saying it. She's going to double your taxes. Really, Don? She's going to fucking double your taxes? What does that mean? Who exactly are you talking about? Do you understand what double means? It's like, really? She's going to double your taxes? So, of course, you know, not that I even needed to do it because I knew it was bullshit from the second he said it. But I was like, okay, let's see the reality here. You do a little fact-checking. You find out very quickly. Hillary is indeed cutting taxes for over 80% of Americans. And look, some people would argue, hey, man, I wish that wasn't the case. There's some progressives who would say, you can't do that. You shouldn't do that. So there's a criticism of her here from the left. But bottom line is, he just makes shit up.
The plan is a disaster. Let me just tell you, believe me, it is not tremendous. And it's because you're going to double your taxes. So you're going to raise your taxes. Your taxes are going to get raised. They're going to be doubled. Doubled.
Fucking doubled. She cuts it for 80% of people. And she only raises taxes on people making over $143,000. And no, it is not doubling them for people that make over $143,000.
Look, this is one area where everybody knows I'm as tough as it gets on Hillary Clinton. I think she's massively corrupt. I think she's an ultimate establishment insider. But the reality is, when it comes to proposed tax plans, it's not even close. Her plan is far and away superior. Now, you could say you don't believe her. But even with not believing her, I mean, what? Worst case scenario is she leaves taxes exactly as they are right now under the Obama administration, where the top rate is about 39%, top marginal rate for people making over $400,000. So if Donald Trump comes in, no, he admits, he will put the Bush tax cuts for the rich on steroids. We broke down his plan in detail recently, and that's exactly what it is. This is one area where, you know how sometimes Trump bucks Republican orthodoxy, like on NAFTA, for example, like on trade deals, his rhetoric on that bucks Republican orthodoxy and sometimes just says liberal shit. His tax plan is one area where it's not remotely liberal. He's not even trying to be liberal. He's George W. Bush 2.0 on steroids and human growth hormone. He is going to give record tax cuts to the rich. He is going to deregulate Wall Street. Not just Wall Street. He wants to get rid of the FDA, too, and the EPA, which is fucking mental. So you do that, guess what's going to happen? Especially the deregulating Wall Street and cutting taxes for the rich part. You know what's going to happen, right? Well, what happened the last time that happened? The Great Recession. Not only that, the time before that, what happened? The Great Depression. Cutting taxes for the rich and deregulating was one of the main things that led to the Great Depression. So this jackass is recycling the same old standard Republican horseshit economic policies, and he's making the same arguments. So what do they say? They go, no, look, see, understand something. That's why his plan adds trillions to the debt. But they say, no, it doesn't. Well, why do they say it doesn't when the experts say it does? Because their argument is, no, you don't get it. By me cutting taxes massively for the rich, I'm actually increasing revenue to the government. What? Because they say, because when you cut taxes for the rich, it unleashes the beast of the capitalist system to the point where people make so much more money that the lower rate they're paying is actually a net increase in raw dollars. So economists have looked into this and they found out, oh, it's not true. You're just wrong. So that's a theory you have. We tested it, and empirically, it is incorrect. But they still go out there and argue for it anyway. Because, look, in the case of Donald Trump and other Republicans, it's not really about, oh, let me create a plan that's great for working people and stuff. No, it's about, I want to give myself a fucking tax cut. I want to give myself and my donors a tax cut. That's not to say Hillary doesn't want to do sweetheart deals for her donors. She does. We know she does. For example, the corporate tax repatriation where you bring back the money from overseas. But Donald Trump is doing that with the tax plan. There's no question Trump's tax plan is ridiculously bad compared to Hillary, and I hate Hillary. But Hillary, at least claims she wants the Buffett rule, which says that it's a minimum 30% tax on millionaires. So the idea is Warren Buffett said, hey, I pay less in taxes than my secretary, who makes like 60 grand a year or 70 grand a year, whatever it is, because there's so many loopholes that rich people could pay less. So the Buffett rule is you have to pay more than your secretary, basically. So Hillary says she's for that. She's for massively increasing the estate tax, which only applies to people with fucking estates, so like 0.01% of the population. And that's a great way to raise revenue while taxing dead rich people, only the best fucking people in the country to tax. Now, she says she's going to raise Obama's rates for the rich. I don't really believe her on that, but I do believe her she'll keep it the same, and keeping it the same, 39%, is way better than fuckface over there, Trump, cutting it to, it was 28% originally. I think he might have moved it to 32% now, but that's still worse than even the Bush tax cuts for the rich. So this is an area where there is no equivalent. It's not even close. Her tax plan is better by miles. He doesn't know what he's talking about, His tax plan is going to have the same effects as the other Republican tax plans when you cut taxes for the rich and deregulate, and he just lies about hers. I don't know. She doubles your taxes. No, she doesn't. Stop making shit up. Okay. Okay, let's go to straight shooter Donald Trump here, LOL, on the issue of abortion. Mr. Straight Shooter himself, Donald Trump, was asked if he wanted to overturn Roe versus Wade at the debate last night. Let's see how that went.
The issue of abortion.
Right.
Mr. Trump, you're pro-life, but I want to ask you specifically, do you want the court, including the justices that you will name, to overturn Roe v. Wade, which includes, in fact, states, a woman's right to abortion?
Well, if that would happen, because I am pro-life and I will be appointing pro-life judges, I would think that that will go back to the individual states.
But I'm asking you specifically, would you like
to... If they overturned it, it'll go back to the states.
But what I'm asking you, sir, is do you want to see the court overturn? You just said you want to see the court protect the Second Amendment. Do you want to see the court overturn Roe v. Wade?
Well, if we put another two or perhaps three justices on, that's really what's going to be – that will happen. And that will happen automatically, in my opinion, because I am putting pro-life justices on the court. I will say this. It will go back to the states, and the states will then make a determination.
Yeah. I thought you were a straight shooter, son. What happened? That's like a yes or no question. Hey, are you personally in favor of overturning Roe versus Wade? Yes. Next question. He couldn't answer. He didn't answer that. Why didn't he answer like that? This is, as I was watching this, I went, oh, would you look at that? He made a classic politician's calculation there. He apparently knows because his staff told him, or he knew this beforehand, that you can't say in a general election, I want to overturn Roe versus Wade. Because the polls on this are clear. The American people are pro-choice. So you can't say, I want to overturn Roe versus Wade. That's so politically toxic that you're only keeping your base, and you don't have enough voters if you do that to win. So what do? Well, you have to try to keep your base there and make them happy while at the same time getting people who aren't part of your base to try to vote for you. So you got to walk that tightrope, son. Walk that tightrope. Try to make it seem like people who are listening who are part of your base hear you saying, yeah, I would overturn Roe versus Wade, which he didn't say. And people who are more moderate, who you're trying to get to vote for you, you need them to hear you say, no, I would keep Roe versus Wade. I'm pro-life, but within reason. So that's what he's doing. Classic calculation from a politician. And, you know, one of the things that really annoys me and gets under my skin is they said it about Chris Christie. Now they say it about Donald Trump. This idea of like, oh, yeah, tells it like it is, straight shooter, ha, yeah. Except he doesn't. He just has the cadence and the rhythm and the inflection and the way of speaking that appears like a straight shooter. Just because he's aggressive and he's to the point, it doesn't mean what he's saying is accurate. Doesn't mean what he's saying is true. I mean, how many fucking lies and flip-flops have we, you know, recorded when it comes to Donald Trump and when it comes to Chris Christie? Now, again, this is not me arguing that, oh, Hillary Clinton is a straight shooter and they're not. No, I'm not. I think she's a liar, too. But he specifically, him and Chris Christie, they get the reputation of like, ha-ha, tell it like it is. Hey, Don, would you overturn Roe versus Wade? Tremendous. I think it'll go to the states if that happens. No, I didn't ask you that. Are you in favor of overturning Roe versus Wade? Look, if it were to happen, see, what'll happen is I'm going to pick the judges, and the judges will make sure that they end up going back to the states, so it'll happen automatically, in my opinion. Let me just tell you, believe me, tremendous. Don, yes or no, are you in favor of overturning Roe versus Wade? Go back to the states or something. So in other words, you're not giving a straight answer, and you're not a straight shooter. Thanks, I got it. Okay. Okay, let me take my final break here, and then when we come back, I got a marathon, bitch. I got a million fucking clips to get to, and God damn it, you're going to hear them. All right? So stay right there. We'll talk about more debate stuff. All right, be right back, guys.
I rap about it cause they doing my music, so call and do what you were taking about living. I flick it and pitch it for the Prince of Brooklyn. Ditch it. Hip-hop ain't responsible for balance in America. America's responsible for balance in America. Back to the flow. Nose full of dough, rolls full of clothes full of holes. The schools didn't want me, so the drug dealers taught me simple math. Step on it twice and bring it back. Get four times what you pay. Divide the labor costs and still come away with enough to play. Till I see the thing younger than me, front in the streets, looking for something to eat. May the angels walk with me more or less. Big things, big wins, more or less. Big stars and big cars, more or less. I can say I've seen it all, done it all, more or less. May the angels walk with me more or less. Big things, big wins, more or less. Big stars and big cars, more or less. I can say I've seen it all, done it all, more or less. Better get down, better run for cover when I spit round. Oh, you want some now, get down, slip down to the white meat. I'm from Brooklyn, Vietnam, my life beat. With the interval in the streets, double fight, living the trouble life. Father was a jerk, moms had the worst, poppy had the worst. So I did what any real would do. Got in front of the stove, now I got the stove. You punk, want your punk cash, with the punk blast, put your punk in the trunk fast. Y'all talk, I'm buried in the walls. I'm a trail motherfucker rapping raw. Point blank, shooting point blank, all the way to the bank. Rip your face off, then I take off. The difference between me and them, he won't be seeing them no more. Secrets of war, may the angels walk with me more or less. Big things, big wins, more or less. Big stars and big cars, more or less. I can say I've seen it all, done it all.
Back to the show, me amores. Alright, Chris Wallace is going to shove his foot in his mouth. Actually, wrong. I'm going to shove my foot in his ass. Because it's supposed to be there. You'll understand why in just a second. Because it just sounds kind of creepy at the moment. Okay. Chris Wallace, the moderator for the third and final presidential debate last night, asked a terrible, terrible question about entitlements. So let's watch, and we'll see, I think, some of their responses there as well, and then I'm going to dissect it.
The one last area I want to get into with you in this debate is the fact that the biggest driver of our debt is entitlements, which is 60%. Of all federal spending. Now, the Committee for Federal Responsible Federal Budget has looked at both of your plans, and they say neither of you has a serious plan that is going to solve the fact that Medicare is going to run out of money in the 2020s, Social Security is going to run out of money in the 2030s, and at that time, recipients are going to take huge cuts in their benefits. So, in effect, the final question I want to ask you in this regard is, and let me start with you, Mr. Trump, would President Trump make a deal to save Medicare and Social Security that included both tax increases and benefit cuts, in effect, a grand bargain on entitlements?
I'm cutting taxes. We're going to grow the economy. It's going to grow at a record rate.
But that's not going to help entitlements.
It's going to totally help you. And one thing we have to do, repeal and replace the disaster known as Obamacare. It's destroying our country. It's destroying our businesses, our small business, and our big businesses. We have to repeal and replace Obamacare. You take a look at the kind of numbers that will cost us in the year 17. It is a disaster if we don't repeal and replace. Now, it's probably going to die of its own weight, but Obamacare has to go. The premiums are going up 60, 70, 80%. Next year, they're going to go up over 100%. And I'm really glad that the premiums have started. At least the people see what's happening, because she wants to keep Obamacare and she wants to make it even worse. And it can't get any worse. Bad health care at the most expensive price. We have to repeal and replace Obamacare.
And Secretary Clinton, same question, because at this point, Social Security and Medicare are going to run out. The trust funds are going to run out of money. Will you, as president, entertain? Will you consider a grand bargain, a deal that includes both tax increases and benefit cuts to try to save both programs?
Well, Chris, I am on record as saying that we need to put more money in the Social Security Trust Fund. That's part of my commitment to raise taxes on the wealthy. My Social Security payroll contribution will go up, as will Donald's, assuming he can't figure out how to get out of it. But what we want to do is to replenish the Social Security Trust Fund by making sure that we have sufficient resources.
Okay, I like Trump's incoherent babble. He's asked a specific question on Social Security and Medicare. He's like, look, I'm going to cut taxes. The economy is going to be tremendous. And let me tell you something. Obamacare, disaster. We're going to repeal and replace Obamacare. Tremendous. Believe me. I just have to tell you. Okay, wait. He didn't ask about that. He didn't ask about that at all. He asked about Social Security and Medicare. And you pivot to cutting taxes, the economy, and Obamacare. Like, what the fuck? Pay attention. Pay attention, slapstick. What's wrong with you? Okay, and then Hillary tried to give an adult's answer. She's like, no, I'm not going to cut the entitlements. I'm going to raise taxes on the rich. That's actually a good answer because that is all you need to do in order to fix Social Security and Medicare. But now let me get to the heart of the issue here, because like I was saying when I led into the clip, Chris Wallace's framing is just absolutely 100% wrong and inaccurate and silly, actually. So he says repeatedly there, Social Security and Medicare are going to, quote, run out of money. Run out of money. So this is what they do. This is the trick they do. They come up and they say, oh my God, our hair's on fire. We gotta fix it, It's gonna run out of money. So then what do they say? Just to save the program, we have to cut your benefits. What are we gonna do? Okay, hold on now. First of all, entitlement is even a misleading name for these programs because it's really an earned benefit program. You wanna know why they call it entitlements? Because you are entitled to it because you fucking paid into it. So you're getting back what you paid into it. They want to say, yeah, keep paying into it, but we're going to cut giving it back to you, though. So we're going to rob you and pretend like we're doing it out of necessity to save you and save the program. That's the trick they're playing. So he keeps saying, you're going to run out of money. That's not anywhere near true. Social Security and Medicare aren't going bankrupt. Social Security has a multi-trillion dollar surplus right now. A multi-trillion dollar surplus. Now stop and think about, like, you compare that to war. We just covered the story the other day. $1.5 trillion spent on the next generation F-35 plane, and it didn't even fly. There are no residual effects of that are positive for the economy. When you go and you drop bombs with that shit, the bombs blow up. They don't circulate around the economy and make it healthy. It's just, oh, look, we built some shit that explodes, and then it exploded. That's where you're really wasting money. When it comes to this, you're not wasting it at all. You have a surplus right now as opposed to just bleeding and going into the red and then not having any upsides to it. So, but they always focus on the wrong thing. So there's a surplus, and then Social Security is fully solvent until the year 2037. And then after 2037, now what does he say? Quote, runs out of money. No, it pays 75% of its benefits after 2037. That ain't running out of money. It's you went from paying 100% to 75%, not 100% to zero. So, and again, what's the fix for that? Very simple. You lift the cap on Social Security taxes. So right now, let's say you're an eye doctor, random, who makes $120,000 a year. You pay the same amount of money in Social Security taxes as LeBron James, as a CEO on Wall Street who makes, let's say, $32 million a year. You pay the same amount in Social Security tax as those people. Why? Because there's a hard cap on your Social Security tax. It's about $120,000. So all you got to do is get rid of that cap. and have LeBron pay the same percentage. I like how I'm picking on LeBron James. Have him pay the same percentage for his Social Security tax as somebody who makes 120 grand. That's it. Problem solved. Solve it as far as the eye can see. But what do they want to do? They want to cut benefits instead. Man, these guys, the establishment is fucked up, man. Because they frame everything. It's a necessity. We have to cut it to save it. To save you, we got to cut it. But they're robbing you. Everybody in the establishment appears to agree. All the Republicans agree. And the Democrats, all the establishment Democrats agree. So it's only the progressives who are like, no, 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 this is a lie. Bernie Sanders screams it from the rooftops. No, we don't need to cut it. We need to expand Social Security. It's the most popular government program in America, literally. Now, actually, I have to say credit to Hillary there because I expected her to say, yes, I want to do a grand bargain. She didn't say that. She said, I want to raise taxes on the rich. That's how I want to take care of this. So apparently she learned some lessons from Bernie Sanders that you got to at least appear to be progressive in these things. Okay, and then finally, let me just say, for Medicare, because he says that's going, quote, running out of money, too. Fully solvent until the year 2023, and then it pays out 89% of its benefits. So it's not, oh, my God, 2027, we're out of money, zero, which is how what he's implying. It's 2023, and then it pays out 89% of its benefits. And again, with minor tweaks in that, you can fix it as well without having to cut benefits. And again, I hate calling them benefits because it sounds like you're getting something you're not owed. No, you're getting what you are fucking owed because you paid into it. So Chris Wallace, horrific framing. Donald Trump, totally incoherent. Hillary Clinton, randomly, good job saying I'm going to raise taxes on the rich because that's all you got to do to fix the programs. Okay. All right, now Hillary Clinton is going to go in the wrong direction here on the issue of Syria. Hillary Clinton, on the issue of Syria in the debate last night, reiterated her position that she's now shared with us maybe a dozen times about how she wants to do a no-fly zone and safe zones. Now, there are very real serious problems with that and issues that can arise as a result of that, unintended consequences, blowback. And finally, Chris Wallace, the moderator for last night's debate, although he did a terrible job in many respects, on this issue, he did a decent job because he's going to take what she says about, hey, I want a no-fly zone and a safe zone. And he's finally going to ask the most logical question ever in response to it, and let's see how Hillary Clinton handles it.
Secretary Clinton, you have talked about, and in the last debate and again today, that you would impose a no-fly zone to try to protect the people of Aleppo and to stop the killing there. President Obama has refused to do that because he fears it's going to draw us closer or deeper into the conflict. And General Joseph Dunford, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, says, you impose a no-fly zone, chances are you're going to get into a war, his words, with Syria and Russia. So the question I have is, if you impose a no-fly zone, first of all, how do you respond to their concerns? Secondly, if you impose a no-fly zone and a Russian plane violates that, does President Clinton shoot that plane down?
Well, Chris, first of all, I think a no-fly zone could save lives. And
no yes or no answer.
The
note that.
I am well aware of the really legitimate concerns that you have expressed from both the president and the general. This would not be done just on the first day. This would take a lot of negotiation. It would also take making it clear to the Russians and the Syrians that our purpose here was to provide safe zones on the ground. We've had millions of people leave Syria. And those millions of people inside Syria who've been dislocated. So I think we could strike a deal and make it very clear to the Russians and the Syrians that this was something that we believe was in the best interests of the people on the ground in Syria. It would help us with our fight against ISIS.
Okay. Notice. She didn't answer the question. She was asked very plainly, hey, you know, this maybe would escalate to war with Syria and Russia, which is one of the reasons President Obama's like, yeah, not going to do it. So would you shoot down a Russian plane if it happens to go into your no-fly zone? You know, Chris, there are many legitimate concerns about this policy that I have. Whoa, you didn't answer the question. So what's the answer to the question? I mean, it's a no-fly zone. The whole point of it, no-fly. Look, a Russian plane is flying in our no-fly zone. You going to shoot down the Russian plane? Then we're in World War III. No, but see, people really don't understand, yet again, this is another issue where Hillary Clinton makes it really, really difficult for progressives who supported Bernie Sanders to throw their support behind her. Because this is honestly Republican 101. This is neocon 101. So we intervened in Libya, made the situation worse. We did the war in Iraq, made the situation worse. And what does Hillary Clinton want to do? Let's intervene now in Syria. We're already intervening, by the way, but she wants to intervene further in Syria. So in other words, you didn't learn dick from Libya. You didn't learn dick from Iraq. As, by the way, you go around apologizing for voting for the Iraq war because now it was such an obvious mistake that you can't hide it. That's the political reality. But now you think, oh, no, totally. If we go and we intervene in Syria, it'll work. Well, the other interventions didn't work, so what the fuck are you talking about? What are you talking about? So they just still continue to buy into this hawkish interventionist framework. And you're drinking the neocon Republican Kool-Aid here. And so when you talk about a no-fly zone, also, why are they doing it? Like, why are they even considering it? They'll say, and she'll say, oh, I care so much about the civilians in Syria, bro. That's why I want to do it, bro. That's what they'll say. Do they actually give a shit about the civilians in Syria? We are arming Saudi Arabia to the tune of billions of dollars, helping them, refueling their jets, giving them coordinates for the bombings, and sitting by as they massacre civilians in Yemen on purpose. They're bombing schools, they're bombing hospitals, they're bombing open-air markets, they're bombing food factories, bombing everything, fucking everything. We're on the verge of outright famine in Yemen, and there's a Saudi blockade, and we're standing by. Yeah, people are starving to death. They're bombing civilians on purpose with U.S. bombs. There's pictures on social media of the American writing on the remnants of the bombs. So we're sitting by as our buddies are massacring civilians, and we don't give a fuck. So you care about civilians, you could easily stop the dead civilians in Yemen, just stop arming Saudi Arabia and sanction them immediately, and boom, you save civilian lives in Yemen. But the thing is, you don't care about civilian deaths. So why am I supposed to believe that you care about it in Syria? You don't care about it in Yemen, when to fix it is so much easier. Cut off weapons, but you don't do it. So now I'm supposed to believe you care. Oh, we're such humanitarians. We're just so altruistic. We're the world police, really. So we care about the civilians there. Oh, do you care about the fact that Mali is fucking Al-Qaeda-stan right now? How about civilians over there? No, we don't care about that. Oh, how about what's happening in South Sudan? A lot of civilian death there, but I don't care about that. How about the Congo? There's a problem there. I don't care about that. Well, the Syria is the only one out Syrian civilian. Syria, no, we care so much about the Syrian civilians. Nobody else but the Syrian civilians. Or you don't care about the Syrian civilians. And what's this all really about? It's really about the geopolitical chessboard. Syria is aligned with Iran and Russia. Iran and Russia are your enemies in your geopolitical imperialist chessboard game. So you want regime change in Syria to get rid of the hostile actor Assad, to put in your own puppet government, and you're fine with turning Syria into Saudi Arabia in the fucking process. Because we know the nature of the rebels at this point. Many of them ISIS, many of them al-Nusra, which was the former al-Qaeda affiliate, but they're still jihadists, many of them Islamists. So spare me your nonsense. If you put a no-fly zone in, it is true. Maybe you'll protect some civilians, but you'll also be acting as the air force for ISIS and al-Qaeda, because those are a lot of the Syrian rebels. And the whole point of the no-fly zone is, who are you going to attack? Who are flying the planes? Again, it's not ISIS. So it's the Syrian government, and it's Russia. So you are doing it to say, I will shoot down Syrian planes and Russian planes. That's fucking nuts. And final point is this. Again, she's like, oh, it's about the civilians. Oh, my God, we got to care about the civilians in Syria. Really? Then why is it that in 2013, in a speech you gave to a bank when talking about the issue of Syria, you said a no-fly zone is actually a terrible idea? Because a no-fly zone kills massive numbers of civilians. Because you have to secure certain areas, take out certain key areas where the planes are, And it happens to be the case that a lot of Syrian civilians live in the areas that you have to take out. So you said it. I didn't say it. You said it in 2013 in a speech when you thought nobody was listening, nobody in the public. WikiLeaks had to release this. And you said, yeah, it's a terrible idea to have a no-fly zone because you're going to kill massive numbers of civilians. But now your argument is, well, we have to do a no-fly zone because I care about civilians. By the way, she made those comments about the no-fly zone in defense of Obama pulling away from doing more intervention in Syria. So she was defending him at the time, like, yeah, no-fly zones is a bad idea. But she admitted, killed a lot of civilians. Today, oh, no, doesn't. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? I'm doing it to save civilians. I don't know what you mean. This doesn't unnecessarily escalate with Syria and Russia, potentially to World War III. You need to ask yourself this question. Are you willing to send young American men and women from fucking West Virginia, from fucking South Dakota, from California? Are you willing to send these people to go fight and die in Syria in World War III against Russia to take Aleppo? Is that what you want to do? Now, I obviously feel horrible for all the civilians on all sides that are dying. But am I going to do a direct U.S. intervention when history proves that direct U.S. intervention has been a disaster across the board and made it worse almost every time? Please. Okay, next. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump sparred on their records here, and it was fun to watch.
The problem is you talk, but you don't get anything done, Hillary. You don't. Just like when you ran the State Department, $6 billion was missing. How do you miss $6 billion? You ran the State Department, $6 billion was either stolen, they don't know, it's gone, $6 billion. If you become president, this country is going to be in some mess, believe me.
Well, first of all, what he just said about the State Department is not only untrue, it's been debunked numerous times. But I think it's really an important issue. He raised the 30 years of experience. So let me just talk briefly about that. You know, back in the 1970s, I worked for the Children's Defense Fund, and I was taking on discrimination against African-American kids in schools. He was getting sued by the Justice Department for racial discrimination in his apartment buildings. In the 1980s, I was working to reform the schools in Arkansas. He was borrowing $14 million from his father to start his businesses. In the 1990s, I went to Beijing, and I said, women's rights are human rights. He insulted a former Miss Universe, Alicia Machado, called her an eating machine. And on the day when I was in the Situation Room, monitoring the raid that brought Osama bin Laden to justice, he was hosting the Celebrity Apprentice. So I'm happy to compare my 30 years of experience, what I've done for this country, trying to help in every way I could, especially kids and families, get ahead and stay ahead, with your 30 years, and I'll let the American people make that decision.
Oh, man. That I was killing Osama bin Laden while you were doing the Celebrity Apprentice line. Everybody knows I'm no fan of Hillary Clinton, but I was like, damn, son! Oh, shit! You just got slapped across the face! That was unbelievable. That was a good line. That was good. That was probably the height of the debate for her. That was the peak of the debate. Because he went from, I'm going to get to it in a second, just with the furthest right-wing fucking InfoWars made-up conspiracies, he went from saying things that just anybody, at face value, you go, really? $6 billion, really? He went from saying that to her coming back with, let's compare our entire careers, thank you very much. And she goes down the list and ends with the fucking Tyson haymaker across the face. As I was killing Osama bin Laden, you were being a little bitch on reality TV. It reminds me of the meme where the rap battle meme where the guy's making the face and everybody's like, "Oh!" Okay, so the $6 billion claim. As I was watching it, I heard him say that. I was like, what? So I initially just tweeted and I'm like, did he just accuse her of stealing $6 billion? That's the fucking craziest thing I've ever heard. And I was laughing my ass off. And I go, okay, you know what? Let me be fair. Let me be fair to Don here. Let me be fair. Let me look it up. So I go, I look it up. Of course, Snopes did something on it. Snopes, they're the ones who debunk, you know, any the internet rumors and conspiracy theories. They did something on it. They don't get into all these different political things often, but they did in this one. They're like, really? $6 million? So what did they say? No, he said it's, quote, missing, quote, stolen, quote, gone. They don't know. They don't know where it is. They don't know. Turns out it's $6 billion in, and I quote, improper record keeping. Now they know exactly where it is. Improper record keeping. He's like, stolen. $6 billion. Maybe it was stolen under Crooked Hillary? I'm just saying. It's gone. They don't know. No, they do know. It's not gone. It's not missing. It was improper record keeping. They know exactly where it is now. Thank you very much. Like, you got to give yourself a second to pause. Like, when you hear something that preposterous, Don, you have to go, you know what? Maybe check a second source. Because this is the guy. He is buddy-buddy with Alex Jones. So what? The next fucking time he does an interview, is he going to go out there and say, you know, I smelled sulfur on him, people. Hillary Clinton is a literal demon. I have the documents. Black helicopters, Illuminati, Bilderberg. Everything's a conspiracy ever. Like, just pump your brakes a little bit, son. Just a little bit. Not everything you read on the fucking internet is true. He said that the other day. He was giving a rally, and he said, forget the news. You could just read on the internet. Don, come on, man. A little bit of vetting. A little bit of intelligence. Like, and the funny thing is, so every now and then he'll say something true about Hillary Clinton. Like, oh, the Clinton Foundation is pay to play. But he's mixed it in with so much other horse shit that a lot of people just go, oh, I'm sure it's all bullshit. So think about that. That's true. The Clinton Foundation is pay-to-play corruption. That's not saying they don't do good things every now and then. Of course they do. But there's also pay-to-play corruption. That's been proven 18 different ways by David Schroeder of the International Business Times, just detailed every aspect of it. But he mixes that in with Crooked Hillary stole $6 billion, and Benghazi, terrible, tremendous. She wanted our people to die. She ordered the stand down. Blah, 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 blah. Let me bring the Benghazi mother to the debate. As he did. So you mix in so much horseshit with the true things you say. Everybody's like, really? This guy, does he ever read a fucking right-wing conspiracy he doesn't immediately believe? $6 billion, yeah. Hillary stole $6 billion. Dude, she's already corrupt enough. You could have pointed to her actual corruption. You could have said, oh, yeah, by the way, look, here's $675,000 from Goldman Sachs in a speech. Boom, there you go. $250,000, $225,000 here and there, all the different speeches to Wall Street. Memorize like three or four of them, ring them off in the debate. And people go, oh, my God, he's right about that. But when you go to the
$6 billion, $6 billion, Crooked Hillary, State Department stole, who the man's missing, who knows? She take it? I don't know. I'm just saying.
That's when people go, okay, so you're a clown boy. Thank you very much. Okay. By the way, the real place where there's the super duper duper waste, fraud, and abuse is the Pentagon. It's not the State Department. So, $6 billion missing from the State Department. That would be ridiculous for the State Department for a variety of reasons. And as I just told you, it was improper, filing of it. But now they know where it is. No, not an issue. He talks about that, which is bullshit, and nobody talks about the literally trillions of dollars unaccounted for in the Pentagon. There's your real scandal. And there, that actually is true, and it makes sense, because what do? All the time with these defense contractors and basically looting the Treasury by design. This is the military-industrial complex 101. But they got nothing to say about that. Real issue. And he hammers away on the fake $6 billion, which we know where it is from the State Department, when that's not the concern with waste, fraud, and abuse there. It's almost always the Pentagon. All right, now I don't have much time, so I'm going to have to narrow it down here. Okay, I got to do his sexual assault allegations. If I got to go a little over, I'll go a little over, no biggie. Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton went back and forth on his sexual assault allegations. Let's listen.
Trump, at the last debate, you said your talk about grabbing women was just that, talk, and that you'd never actually done it. And since then, as we all know, 9 women have come forward and said that you either groped them or kissed them without their consent. Why would so many different women from so many different circumstances over so many different years, why would they all in this last couple of weeks make up, you deny this, why would they all make up these stories? And since this is a question for both of you, Secretary Clinton, Mr. Trump says what your husband did and that you defended was even worse. Mr. Trump, you go first.
Well, first of all, those stories have been largely debunked. Those people, I don't know those people. I have a feeling how they came. I believe it was her campaign that did it. Just like if you look at what came out today on the clips, where I was wondering what happened with my rally in Chicago and other rallies where we had such violence. She's the one in Obama that caused the violence. They hired people. They paid them $1,500, and they're on tape saying, be violent, cause fights, do bad things. I would say the only way, because those stories are all totally false, I have to say that. And I didn't even apologize to my wife, who's sitting right here, because I didn't do anything. I believe, Chris, that she got these people to step forward. If it wasn't, they get their 10 minutes of fame. But they were all totally, it was all fiction. It was lies, and it was fiction.
Well,
Secretary Clinton,
at the last debate, we heard Donald talking about what he did to women. And after that, a number of women have come forward saying that's exactly what he did to them. Now, what was his response? Well, he held a number of big rallies where he said that he could not possibly have done those things to those women because they were not attractive enough for
I did not say that.
In fact, he went on to say...
Her 2 minutes.
But did
he,
not
it,
say that.
It's her 2 minutes.
He went on to say, look at her. I don't think so. About another woman, he said, that wouldn't be my first choice. He attacked the woman reporter writing the story, called her disgusting, as he has called a number of women during this campaign. You know, Donald thinks belittling women makes him bigger. He goes after their dignity, their self-worth, and I don't think there is a woman anywhere who doesn't know what that feels like.
Mr. Trump, nobody has more respect for women than I do. Nobody. Nobody has more respect.
Please, everybody.
And frankly, those stories have been largely debunked, and I really want to just talk about something slightly different. She mentions this, which is all fictionalized, probably or possibly started by her and her very sleazy campaign. But I will tell you, what isn't fictionalized are her emails, where she destroyed 33,000 emails criminally.
You didn't handle that very well, Don. That was super duper inartful. Okay. Look, I don't want to talk about this anymore. Anyway, emails. Oh, no, you didn't do that. Yep, you did that. I guess he tried to tone it down a little bit from the last time when they brought it up on his tapes, and he was like, ISIS. I'm going to keep America safe. I'm going to make America great. I'm going to protect us from ISIS. The emails. Okay, when that question was asked, it was already over, this exchange. And the exchange was won by Hillary. Because the way Chris Wallace framed that question was fairly devastating. He was like, okay, why would there – he said 9 different women. I thought it was 11. But he says 9 different women have come out and accused you of sexual assault, the thing that you said you do on tape. Anyway, why would all of them come out and make it up now? And then he just couldn't – you can't wiggle your way out of that one. And by the way, one of the people who did the accusations, she was a writer for People magazine. She said, I went to go do their 1-year anniversary story, Trump and Melania. And she has a very detailed account of when Melania was going to change. Trump said, "I got to show you a tremendous room," took her in the room, closed the door, pushed her against the wall, kissed her. She didn't consent to it or anything, and he kept saying, "Well, you know we're going to have an affair, right? You know we're going to have an affair, right?" And apparently six people have come out to verify her story. In other words, this happened in, what was it, the 1990s? I don't know, something like that. Or no, 2005, I think it was. Yeah, I think it was 05. People have come out, and they're like, yeah, she called me crying at the time. And she said, I don't know what to do. This guy is very powerful, very famous, rich. I feel like if I come out and speak about this, that he's going to ruin my career. He's going to ruin my life. And I don't know what to do. And she's, and there's, again, five or six different people who've come out and said this. So, I mean, you can't, Don, you said on tape, like, everybody's focusing on the grab him by the pussy, I kiss him, let me have some Tic Tacs, sometimes like a magnet, I just start kissing them. But the most important phrase in there is, quote, I don't even wait. Because you don't wait for what? What are you not waiting for? What are you not waiting for? Well, the answer is obvious. Consent. I don't even wait. So I have Tic Tacs, you know. Sometimes I kiss them. It's like a magnet. I don't even wait. Sometimes I grab them by the pussy. They let you do anything when you're a star. How do you know that they let you do anything when you just said, quote, I don't even wait? And then it turns out all these women come out and say, he did exactly what he said on that tape to me, and no, I didn't want it. So there's no hard to get out of that one, son. And Hillary pummeled away on his face there, and I think she came away from that exchange looking like the winner. And again, as I said at the beginning, he needed to win this debate overwhelmingly to catch up and really have a shot. He got less than a month of the election, and he's down 5.5 points on average. He didn't win it overwhelmingly, so he's in trouble. He's on the ropes, and exchanges like this and what he did is the main reason why. Okay, I'm out of time, guys. I love you, baby. See you tomorrow, same time, same place. Bye, y'all.